doesn't fall? Or how do you make sure a church doesn't fall? Not the building, but the people who make up the building. Because obviously, if a church is looking like that, that means the people were looking a lot worse a lot sooner than that, and the church had fallen. How do we make sure that North Valley Baptist Church doesn't crumble into disrepair to where we are no longer? We've been looking in the scriptures at portraits that God uses to picture for us the relationship that is supposed to exist between Jesus Christ and his church. And today's portrait, I think, will help us to understand how we can make sure that North Valley Baptist Church does not fall or crumble into disrepair. And remember, when I say that, I'm talking about the people of North Valley Baptist Church, not just a building, because the church are the people. We are the church. So today we're going to be looking at the picture that Christ is the cornerstone and the church is the building. Now, last October and then last week and today, we've looked at four different portraits. We looked at the portrait that Jesus Christ is the head of the church and that we are the body of Christ. And it talked about the connection that the body, the church, is supposed to have to its head, to Jesus Christ, and the nourishment that Jesus gives to us. We talked about how Jesus is the high priest and that we are the priests, and that we have access, direct access to God through Jesus Christ, not through any other person, not through any other church or anything. We, as the church, the people, have direct access to God. And therefore, as priests, we are to do our service for the Lord. That's what priests do. They serve. Then last week, we talked about the bridegroom and the bride, and we saw the great love that Jesus Christ as the bridegroom has for his church, and the exalted position that he gives to his bride. I don't know, have you thought this week about the fact that you are betrothed to Jesus Christ, and that there's a wedding coming someday and a marriage supper that we will be a part of if we are believers in Jesus Christ? So today we're going to talk about Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. The church is the building. And this portrait points to the direction and the stability the church receives from Christ as its cornerstone, and that the church is to be viewed as a developing dwelling place of God, a developing dwelling place of God. Just in case you need the reminder, and you have it there, I believe, in your notes, again, let's remember, what is the church? We have the universal church, which is made up of everyone who has come to Christ, who is a believer in Jesus Christ, from the time the church began at the day of Pentecost, and until the rapture, when Jesus Christ returns to take his bride home to be with him for the wedding. And then, two, we have local churches, North Valley Baptist Church. And as a local church, we are a visible expression of that universal church. As people come and they see what we do as a church, they should see us modeling those portraits that we have been talking about. And they should see what the church is all about. We sort of we flesh out these portraits by what we do. There's two key passages we're going to look at today, and I just have them here. You can, if you find them in your Bible and want to be going back and forth, that you can do that. But Ephesians 2, starting at verse 19, it says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built," and there's where we get the building imagery, "built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." And then a passage in 1 Peter chapter 2. "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. So Christ is the cornerstone, the church is the building. And as we look at this portrait, what is it that we should see? Because you're supposed to see portraits, right? So what is it that we are supposed to see? Let's talk about the composition of the building. In Ephesians 2, verse 20, It talked about that we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. The cornerstone is indeed Jesus Christ. The letters you see on that cornerstone block, that's a historical symbol for, indicating that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Those are Greek letters that abbreviate Jesus Christ. Jesus on one side, Christ on the other side. Just so you know what that means. So what is the significance of the cornerstone? These are the verses, again, that we read that talk about Jesus indeed as the cornerstone. The function of a cornerstone. The function of a cornerstone back in the first century may be a little different than how we do it today with modern architecture and so on. But the function of a cornerstone was that which is essential and indispensable, providing direction, symmetry, and stability. I'm going to get to play with blocks today, okay? So this is going to be really fun. My dad was wondering what in the world these were for all week, okay? This is our cornerstone, okay? Jesus Christ, okay? And depending upon how you lay this, you know, if you're going to play with your blocks, depending upon how you lay this on the table will determine the direction that the building goes, right? If I go this way, then I'm going to build this way. If I build this way, I'm going to go off the table, okay? So Jesus is our cornerstone, and he is the one that is supposed to give stability. We'll see that as we build on this. He's supposed to give direction. The cornerstone determines all that by the way it's laid. And so we'll just, for now, leave that right there, and that is our cornerstone, Jesus Christ. You remember, I don't know if we still sing this song with the children or not, you know, the wise man built his house upon the rock, okay, and you go through that, and the rains came tumbling down, the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm compared to the house that was built on the sand, because the house built on the sand went splat, okay? So, as a church, we build on the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, on the rock. That allusion of the building the house on the rock is at the end of Matthew 7, after Jesus Christ has given the sermon, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, and he's saying, build your life on these teachings that I have given to you, so that you will be like someone who builds on the rock of Jesus Christ. So, if we go back to the First Peter passage, we see that this cornerstone is called precious to some, but rejected by others. Up in verse 4, it said that it was rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to God. And then in verse 7, it says, now to you who believe, the stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So this cornerstone, Jesus Christ, he's precious. Who is he precious to? Those who believe. And I trust he is precious to us, for those of us who have put our faith and trust in Christ. But some have rejected him. They've rejected that cornerstone. Now, what happened when they rejected the cornerstone? Did that, did God all of a sudden say, uh-oh? No, he went ahead and he chose Jesus to be the cornerstone. It didn't matter what men thought if men weren't going to accept it. God said, Jesus Christ is indeed the cornerstone. He is chosen by God. And then we see that because of people who reject the stone, it says that he becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock that makes them fall or makes people fall. So instead of staying in line with the building and following the symmetry that Jesus Christ has laid down as the cornerstone, they want to go their own way. And what happens? They trip over the stone. They trip over Jesus Christ. They don't want to follow his way that he has set down. And so they are shown as people that stumble, people that fall, because they disobey the message. They don't obey. So Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Now let's look at the foundation that is talked about. And we go again back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, where it says that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. We could take a lot of time to talk about this, but I'm just going to make the statement. The apostles and prophets here that are being talked about are New Testament apostles and prophets. The prophets are not Old Testament prophets. One argument to support what I'm saying is that the order that's given, apostles, prophets, it's not prophets, apostles, and then there's other reasons. But these were men, leaders in the first century when the church began, who before, you know, we had the complete scriptures given to us, God used apostles and prophets in the first century to give forth his truth, his communication. So as the church is developing and getting started, we have these New Testament apostles and prophets that are giving God's word out so that the early church knew how they were supposed to live and function. This is not something we expect today. We don't have apostles today, and we don't have New Testament prophets today in the same way as that they were there in the first century. Now, if you look at a couple of verses here, Ephesians 2:20, we've already looked at. But 1 Corinthians 3:9 to 11, Paul writes there, he says, "We are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder. Someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." What Paul is saying is that he was laying a foundation. What was the foundation that he was laying? Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. And so it's not, the text, you know, is telling us Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. The apostles and prophets are the foundation that the church is being built upon, because the apostles and prophets are teaching about Jesus Christ. They're teaching the foundational truths about Jesus Christ. So we have these early church leaders. They were the apostles and prophets. They were focused. They were stable. Obviously, that's what the church needed. They needed leaders that were focused and stable. And these leaders, without them, the foundational teaching of the apostles and prophets pointing the church to Christ, the church would not have survived. As we look back, we needed those people. So as we again think about this, you have Jesus Christ as our cornerstone, and then you have apostles. And you have prophets, and you have some more apostles, and the foundation is being laid for the church as we think about that. So Jesus Christ, our cornerstone, he's determined the direction that we go, and then you have the apostles and the prophets that are giving the foundational teaching about Christ for the church to be able to build upon. Now we come to the next part about the stones that we read about. Jesus Christ is called the living stone, and the church is also called living stones. It says, as you come to him, the living stone, you also like living stones. And then the text went on. What's the point here? The building, the church, we are the stones. What kind of stones are we? Dead stones? No, living stones. And that is going to be really important. You'll see the idea. But those of us who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he has put his life into us. And so we are living stones. We are not supposed to be dead stones at all. And so then the process of this building, you have stones that are connected to the cornerstone and the foundation. Again, back in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we are built on the apostles and the prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Verses are there. So the stones are connected to the cornerstone, the foundation. And then it also says that the stones are carefully fitted. Carefully fitted. In the NIV, it uses in verse 21 the words joined together. Other translations will use this idea of being fitted together. The reason I like the idea of being carefully fitted together. If you there's three different words for stones that are used in the New Testament. And the word that is used here is a stone that is a, you can call it a crafted stone, a work stone. If when the builders were building a building, and remember they're using stones to build their building, they would sometimes have to chisel the stone to make it fit right. They would hewn it and so on. And that's the idea that's being used here, that these stones that are being used, and as we're talking about the church now, that in a sense, God has crafted these people. He's hewn them out to put them in just the right place that he wants them in this building. Now, this is where we can have a little fun, okay? Because now, this began back in the first century. So if the church is being built, and we're talking not just about local churches, but the whole universal church, we could have a block for every person that has been saved since the first century, okay? And we could localize those blocks based on the church that maybe they were involved in for a time, because those people would have been building together in their local churches, okay? But for the sake of us today, we're just going to talk about North Valley, okay? But North Valley was not, like right after the apostles and prophets. Just understand that, okay? But we do have some different ones. And I'm sorry I don't have all your names on here, okay? So I know some of you are just going to be really upset with me because of that. But I do want you to get the idea, okay, that, we would have Amanda. She's not able to be here today, but we're glad that she's here most of the time. Ruth is able to be part of this building, okay? Tracy's able to be part of this building for us. And Kathy and Dan aren't here today, but they're able to help us and be part of the building. Let's see, we have Katrina that's able to be part of the building. We'll put Joe up there, okay? And I won't get all the couples together, but, we will get, I always look at this as that, when we get married, that means God has put us together as a couple to serve him and his church. And so Joe and Audrey are doing that. It's not going to work out that neat with everybody, but okay. We do have James and Andrea that we can put there. Okay. And we'll put Chelsea in here. This is fun. You can come up afterwards and play with them if you want. You got Nate and Jenna here that are part of this building. We have Jolena, she's part of the building. Lori's there. And Charlie, I don't think he's able to be here today, but he's part of it. Bob. Jeanette's home with the flu today, but we are definitely glad she's part of us, and Justin is here. Okay. So the church is being built, and we are all to see ourselves as one of the stones in this building, a living stone. So we're not supposed to be dead, okay? But we are a living stone. And, you know, you can start playing with this a little bit, but if you, you know, what happens if, you know, Jenna decides she's not going to be part of our building anymore? Justin might fall in, okay, because we, you know, we lose her. And she sort of just goes off there, and he maybe falls off. And you can just think about that. If one, you know, over time, North Valley Baptist Church is going to keep growing. And if one of us, as maybe foundational stones, if you want to think about that, become weak or become disinvolved in whatever, the people above us that are supposed to be building on us will tumble and fall and not be as strong because we have been a weak stone in that. You know, I'm picking on Jenna here, but what happens if she says, I don't want to be part of the building? Stones are not made to just be off to themselves, okay? They're what's being talked about here. And let me get my... These stones are carefully fitted, so they're supposed to be in the building. No loners are allowed. And I think that's really important for us to understand that as Jesus Christ and as God is giving us the picture of Christ is the cornerstone, the church is the building, no loners are allowed. It's not like you can say, well, I can just go off and do my thing and not be connected. You have to be connected to the cornerstone. You have to be built on the foundation that was given to us in God's word that the apostles and prophets first proclaimed. And so we have to all be connected to this building. Hopefully that gives you a little imagery there that you can be thinking about as we talk about that. So, no loners. And then we see that this church, it's connected to the cornerstone, it's carefully fitted, and then it's designed for continued development. Continued development. In Ephesians 2:20, it says that we're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple. In 1 Peter 2:5, it says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. It's like this building that is continuing to be built. It doesn't stop. And so we can talk about qualitative growth. In other words, the quality of the growth. We're being fit together. We're growing. So spiritual growth is being implied. And then also quantitative growth. More stones. Okay? We should see more stones. If we were to, let's say, just have this out as, and we had all of our names on it, next year we should see more stones on that building. Because the house is being built. And then when we think about the church in general, the universal church, not just our local church, but all the churches, you can just imagine, what is God's intent? Well, God's intent is that the church, universal church, continues to grow, continues to be built. We haven't stopped yet until the Lord returns. A pretty cool picture to think about. And then when we think about the purpose for the building, and it goes along with what we just said, with the growth, it's supposed to be a spiritual house. In 1 Peter 2:5, it says, you like living stones are being built into a spiritual house. A spiritual house as opposed to what? Carnal house? A fleshly house? We're supposed to be a house that's marked by spiritual people. That's us. We should be spiritual people. We've talked in other portraits, you know, that we are priests, we are sanctified, we are set apart to God. So we should be a spiritual house that does service for God. And if we would look at our lives and say, you know, I'm not really doing a whole lot for God, then you need to see yourself as a weak stone. A weak stone that's not contributing to the strength of the building and could cause others to stumble because of your not doing your part. And then the other cool thing is that it is a dwelling of God. Ephesians 2:22, in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Now, as individual believers, what do we know is true? We know that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit lives within us. And in 1 Corinthians 6, I believe 19 and 20, it talks about how we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So as individual believers, we are a temple that God lives in. And then collectively, we are to see the church as a temple that God is dwelling in, according it says, becomes a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So God lives in us individually, and then as we together do church, we are the church, we know that God dwells among us as well. And so we need to make sure that, is there evidence of the Spirit dwelling within me? And then is there evidence that the Spirit is working in North Valley Baptist Church? Are we a building built upon our cornerstone, Jesus Christ, and the teachings of the Word? And are we serving? Are we strong stones that will stand up? In Matthew 16:18, it says, on this, Jesus was talking to Peter in particular. The apostles are there. The disciples are there. And says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, hell, will not overcome it. Who is the builder of the church? Who is the one that's carefully fitting the stones in just the right place that they should go? Well, that's supposed to be Jesus Christ who is doing that. And Jesus says, I will build my church. And we can have great confidence that Jesus Christ wants to build his church. And that would include North Valley Baptist Church. That Jesus Christ wants to build North Valley Baptist Church with believers who are strong stones that others can build upon it. With believers who will be living stones. Believers who will be serving and doing their part in the work, so that there's not a big gap in the building because it's not being done. So how do we keep a church from falling? Christ is the cornerstone, the church is the building. The cornerstone gives us the direction and stability that we need, and we need to see ourselves as a developing dwelling place for God himself. So some questions I think we can ask ourselves. First of all, is Christ a precious cornerstone to you, or is he a stumbling stone? And obviously that centers around the issue is, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you acknowledged that I want to build my life on Jesus Christ because I know that he died on the cross for my sin? He provided salvation for me. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other direction I want to go except to follow the direction of Jesus Christ. Is he precious? Or are you stumbling over him because you are not accepting Christ as your Savior? You're not following his ways. I trust today if you will acknowledge, I want Jesus to be a precious cornerstone in my life. Where's your direction coming from? We have to acknowledge, even as believers sometimes, we know our direction should come from Christ, but we go our own way. Our stone starts slipping out of its place. What do we need to do, even today, to make sure that our stone is where it needs to be, that it's built on Christ, and that we're getting our direction from him through his word? Is your stone a strong or a weak link to the building? Again, I think when I think about this, I just think about how future generations, people that maybe are younger than me, either younger in the Lord or just younger in age, they want to be able to build upon my stone. And if my stone is weak, they might crumble because I'm not going to be the example that I should be to them. So is your stone a strong or a weak link in the building? They make those statements, that you only can be as strong as your weakest link, so to say. And North Valley Baptist Church, in some ways, will only be as strong as the weakest stone in the building. And I think we all want to make sure that we're doing our part to be a strong stone. Are you contributing to the development of Christ's church? Are you concerned that you can be engaged and be a part of adding more stones to this building? As far as sharing Christ with others, helping others to mature, are you contributing? And then, are you confident in Christ's ability to build his church? I think, for one thing, as I've been a part of some churches when we've been without pastors and so on, as a church that right now we don't have a pastor, are we still confident that Jesus Christ will build his church? We're not on vacation, we're not on break, that we want to continue to see Jesus Christ build his church and be confident that indeed Jesus will do that. Now, as we take this and then we go back to looking at the different portraits that we've looked at over last fall and then last week and today, is there any question about who is in charge? Okay, I hope you see that. No, Christ is the head. He's the high priest. He's the bridegroom, and he's the cornerstone. He is the one in charge. Is there any question about where we can get our provision and direction from? No, we get it from the head, Jesus Christ. We get it from the cornerstone. Is there any question about where our life comes from? And no, again, these portraits just show us that the life comes from Christ. The head is the one who nourishes us and sustains us. Is there any question about where we get our love and our care from? Again, no, we get it from our head. We get it from our bridegroom. And is there any question about why God has established the church? And some of the different portraits talked about how he has established us to be set apart to him. Once we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are no longer set apart to the world. We are set apart to Jesus Christ, our bridegroom. In a sense, we need to see ourselves as married to him and not to things of this world. We need to see our connectedness to Jesus Christ. So hopefully these portraits just help us to understand the beauty of the church and how God wants us to be related to him. And I trust that These pictures, they say a picture paints 1,000 words or something like that. Hopefully these pictures will stay in your mind so you realize the relationship that we should have as God's church, as Christ's church, our relationship to him. Let's pray together. Father God, I want to thank you for the church. Thank you that we can be a part.